Excellent.
Excellent.
Welcome to the very first episode of Dan Has a Plan Beyond the Balance Sheet.
All right, our first adventure.
I'm Dan Smith, a financial advisor on the Family Wealth Management team at UBS Financial Services. Our branch is located in Paramus, and you can reach me by phone at 201-587-2755. And of course, the easy email, daniel.b.smith@ubs.com.
Yeah, you couldn't just go with Daniel Smith. Had to have the B in there.
Well, there's seven Dan Smiths at UBS.
That's right.
You want the right one. I'm joined today by my daughter, Alana, Alana J. Smith.
That's right.
Just so
but
you
don't
know,
email me at ubs.com. I don't work there.
This is correct. She is not affiliated with UBS Financial Services, and her views are her own. But Alana is my daughter, and I'm proud to have her on the show.
Ah, I'm proud to be here, and my views are very much my own. And I have a lot of them.
I'm glad you do.
So this is Dan Has a Plan. You always have a plan for everything?
Well, I was a thinker as a young person. I was the oldest in my family of four boys. And my plan was always to kind of get out. Like I said, what was my plan to get out of a small town in upstate New York? What was my plan to go to college, possibly? What was my plan to maybe play pro baseball? What was my plan?
You were always thinking.
I was always thinking. Well, you need money to do things.
You do. You do.
I always had a nice roof over my head. I had food on the table. I didn't want in those areas, but things that a young man longs for, things like, you know, some proper clothing, you know, dating,
yep.
Transportation.
Oh, yeah. You want to take a lady out in a nice car for a nice dinner.
And believe me, I had a nice car. I had a 1968 Ford Mustang Rust Bucket.
Okay, but that's a special car.
It is a special car. It's a classic.
Yeah.
Mine wasn't a classic.
At the time.
Mine was a Rust Bucket. But it had a 289 V8 engine, and it could go.
And that was a car that was fast enough to get you out of your hometown.
Plenty fast.
Did you like that segue?
I did like that segue.
So you're always thinking. You always had a plan.
One of the misnomers is you need money to do planning. You don't.
Okay. Tell me more.
When you start breathing is when you should start planning.
Wow. Hot take. Okay.
If you're born, someone that's your guardian should be planning for you. I love it when a parent picks up a baby and says, oh, you're going to go to Harvard or you're going to be the next football player.
Uh-huh.
Those are great goals.
Excellent goals.
And goals are achievable, but they're not achievable without a plan. So that young football player that you hope to raise, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take proper nutrition. It's going to take strength training, coaching.
Yep. All these things can cost money.
Mentorship. These things do all cost money. By the same token, on the academic side, you get into a prestigious school because you've planned to get in there.
You came from the baseball world. That's a whole picture sport, right? And I think a lot of times you look at life, whether it's career or personal, through that lens.
I do.
Yeah. So when you first meet with a client or even just someone who wants to pick your brain about financial planning, where would you start?
I try to find out what makes them tick. Okay. So what's their why? Or are they so disorganized that they may be prompted to get to the why?
Yeah, I bet a lot of people don't know how to answer that question.
Yeah, so you start talking about just easy things. Where do you live?
I live in New Jersey.
Okay, tell me about your family.
My family, I've got a great dad. He's a financial planner. He works for UBS.
Good answer. Do you have any siblings?
I do. I have an older sister and a younger brother and a wonderful mom. And lots of extended family, who I love.
Great. Where'd you go to school?
I happened to go to Ithaca College. Have you ever heard of it?
Shocker.
I really went, despite the fact that my dad and my mom both went there. I wanted to be different because I was the middle child, but I fell in love with it, and what can you do?
Do you have any mentors in your life?
I do, yeah. Well, I work in theater and acting and mm-hmm. writing and the creative world. So a lot of people who are doing the things that I want to do, I like to follow them.
Very nice. So, you know, that's just a little segue into getting the dialogue going with Alana J. Smith.
And if I'm coming in for a financial plan, I don't think you care about that.
Well, to the contrary, if it's important to you, it's important to me. Everything I do, financial planning aspect, should be complementary to what you want to do. Creating a budget, saving and investing, making sure that you're properly insured, making sure that you have a team of financial people around you so you can focus on what?
My goals.
There you go.
Yeah. Right?
So that's what financial planning does. It helps you really devote your energies to what makes you happy and let the planning part of it be handled by myself and my team. So we have a team of five. One of the things I do with my team is I want to make sure that I have representation of all different personality types. Generally speaking, we kind of organize them into maybe four different categories.
Okay.
There's, you know, kind of the type A personality that are very bullet point oriented. They want to have organization, action points, review, rinse and repeat, next meeting.
Yeah, excellent.
When they call, they want something done quickly. The second type of person is very analytical. Okay, so we have someone on a team that is very good at data creation. You might ask for a recommendation on a portfolio. Mm-hmm. And the type A person would say, okay, it's in the equity area. You believe in it. I believe in it. Let's go with it. Mm-hmm. Whereas the analytical person is going to want to know who manages the money. How do they pick the stocks? How do they decide if a stock is bought or sold? Mm-hmm. What about tax planning? What about tax harvesting? You know, so on and so forth. You have to be prepared for a lot of analytics.
It's kind of like having a kid who always asks why.
Correct.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with that type of person, but you have to have someone on your team that's willing to create the data that coincides with that person.
Right.
The third person, and these are generalities, but it's kind of life of the party. And they generally just like to have a good time. They know they should do financial planning, but they need focus. And so we do have fun in our meetings. That is part of the job. Some people want to come into the office and look up here on the screen and go through their plan 1, 2, 3. That type of person might want to go to a concert, get to know you, have fun. That to them is how you build relationships. You're building trust. I like to have fun. I do those type of things. But, you know, there's people on my team that like to do that as well.
Yeah.
And then the fourth type person is the person that is kind of doesn't want to make their self centric. They worry about others more than they worry about themselves.
Right.
All right. They want to have very meaningful, connective conversation. They don't consider a financial plan meaningful. They consider a relationship with the financial planner meaningful. Mm. You know, they're not only clients, they're friends.
Right.
So as they go through their life cycle, having grandchildren or having babies, or on the flip side, if there's a passing in the family, reaching out to them proactively to celebrate or to grieve is important to them because it's meaningful.
Right.
All right. And they know that basically you're part of their family. You know, three of us are more meeting oriented.
Yeah, out there in the field.
You know, I generally on the road a lot, but I do a lot in office meetings. I have people that are in the office because when the phone rings, it has to be answered. And then we have two service associates,
okay, yeah,
that are extremely good at their job. So the nice part is that when you call, you'll get a voice on the line instead of 1-800 being kind of transferred all over creation.
Yeah.
So that's the team. We're all licensed. We're very proactive with the client base.
Say you know the person and you're walking into the meeting. You say, all right, I got to put my number two hat on. They're a why asker. Or
yes.
You don't know the person and you got to suss out what kind of person they are. But I think that sounds like one of the reasons you wanted to do this podcast is that people identify with mainly one of those types of personalities, but maybe more than one. And you want to give a broad view of what financial planning can look like for everybody.
But what I do consider myself to be is I can identify with a lot of issues that people go through.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me what's going on. They're confiding in you. I say, we're going into the vault. So whatever you tell me goes into the vault.
You hand over your financial statements and it's vulnerable. Okay, so I just applied for an apartment, right? It feels like, oh my God, am I enough? Have I made enough? Am I going to be enough to qualify for the situation? They have to run a credit check. They have to look at your past living situation. It feels like they're looking at everything in your life, and anxiety starts to rise of like, man, it's almost like my whole life is summed up in this portfolio, right? So people are bringing that to you, and then they're saying, make it grow.
There's people that are afraid to come in because they have debt.
Right.
There's people that are afraid to come in because they have bad credit.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that come in and are ashamed of how much money they have
mm-hmm.
because they haven't worked for it and they don't know what to do with it.
Sure.
Or, you know, they have liquidity events. You know, they inherit money. They're about to sell a business that they never thought was worth anything, or real estate went up in value. What do I do? There's people that come in that, you know, have lost a spouse and the other spouse handled the finances and they're admittedly very nervous. And really what I'm trying to do is bring it back to a baseline. From the baseline, we will then travel north together.
Okay. It's more than just saying which mutual fund should I invest in, right?
Yeah.
Do you like my use of mutual fund there?
That's pretty good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good for you.
Listen, I pay attention. I learn from the best. Okay, so you were a pitcher, right?
I was.
Would you say that your financial planning in life is kind of like pitching, or would you liken it to another position?
I would liken it to the coach.
Okay.
And I did a fair amount of coaching. Not that it's the same sport, but we've had a lot of very famous football coaches retire.
Okay, had no idea.
Nick Saban from Alabama, okay. Bill Belichick from the New England Patriots,
oh, yeah.
Pete Carroll from the Seattle Seahawks. These are all gentlemen in their early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that Nick Saban said is that I don't coach to win, I coach the process. The process is important. You can't hit a baseball, you can't become a millionaire unless you follow a process. What is the process? That's what the plan is.
Right, because on the way to the win, there are smaller wins. You're not going to just hit the goal tomorrow.
Yeah, so it's not a progression. It's not like walking up a 45-degree angle.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
There's our friend called volatility. But like anything you're involved in, you don't have success every day. If you had success every day, no failures or no challenges, it's probably not as rewarding. So in your business.
Yeah, that's a roller coaster.
And I've witnessed that, and I've seen you go through it. But there's always an aha moment. I came home from work one day, and Mom said to me, Alana is performing in Oklahoma in Ramsey.
Yep.
I said,
I was 16. It was my first leading role.
Yes. I said, Oklahoma? Like the Oklahoma? And she goes, yeah, Oklahoma. I go, and she's Lori. And we were dealing with something in the family, and I remember getting to the theater for opening night. And I remember being in the front row, which was nice. It was very nice.
I hooked it up.
So I was sitting there, and when you came out for your first number and hit it out of the park, I was in the audience with tears streaming down my face. I wouldn't wipe them away either. It was the aha moment for me, saying that, oh, now I get it why she's doing it, because she's good at it.
Oh, that's going to make me cry.
But those are the aha moments. So
yeah.
Making an analogy to my business, the market doesn't do well every year when you invest money.
Right.
You know, it's Dan has a plan. It's not Dan saying your goals are going to be achieved. It's taking all the volatility that can happen with portfolios.
Yeah.
So I've stress tested it. So, hey, the financial plan says you can do it. I'm here as the coach to accentuate the positives that you're doing the right thing. And then when the market turns, that's going to be the jet fuel for your recovery.
And it's not one size fits all. So, and it's not something, if you have someone who stays with you for a long time, it's not something that's going to stay the same, right?
No, your plans evolve. I started off in sales in the early 80s. I started off in leasing and doing forklift leasing, and I've done a myriad of things.
Yeah.
Whenever someone walks in my door, if they're taking the time to come meet with me, I know that I can bring some value. Whatever your financial circumstances are, let's get a structure up on the screen. So we do it right on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Just to tell me a little bit about where you are, because where you are isn't going to be the same in a year from now. We're not talking about what happened in the past or what could happen in the future. We're talking about today. You got to start out with the baseline. Then you can start looking out ahead a little bit.
When you start to look ahead, do you start with a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan? How does it?
I start off with life expectancy.
Okay. Wow.
Every client, regardless of how old they are.
Mm-hmm.
I take their financial plan out to age 95.
Great.
If they're 95, I take it out to 100. Dan has a plan to help you with your plan. That's the plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So we start with life expectancy and we work backwards. But I think the most important thing with a plan is I always say, when you woke up this morning and looked in the mirror, who was the most important person in your life? Who was that, Alana, Jacqueline?
Is it selfish to say me?
No, it's not. It should be you.
Yeah.
You got to pay yourself first.
Yeah.
It's an adage in our business, but take care of yourself. So that should be your first expense.
And that kind of, again, to tie it into what people are going to be able to look forward to in the podcast, that is sort of your goal, is to get people to look outside of financial planning to the other aspects of their life and how they feed into their plan. So you want to talk to people who can offer information on other areas of life that aren't just finances, right?
That's correct.
And by listening to you have conversations with experts in those fields, maybe they'll learn a little bit more and feel a little less daunted.
And that's what financial planning is, truthfully.
Absolutely, yeah.
You want to arm your client with the right tools to achieve their goals. I was in grade school. I wore what they were called KEDS at the time.
K-E-D-S. Like the sneakers,
KEDS.
Okay, great.
I don't know if they still make KEDS. I don't know.
Definitely still make KEDS.
Basically, if you went into any discount department store, okay, that's what you bought.
Okay.
Okay. I didn't know there were better sneakers.
Okay.
I didn't know.
I mean, were you wearing these sneakers to play ball? Were you just like in the playground? Okay.
So I'm playing grade school basketball and I'm doing well.
In your KEDS.
In my KEDS. And I get into seventh grade and I'm playing on the junior high school basketball team. I make the team.
Great.
I'm looking at the sneakers of all the other players.
Right.
And they're wearing Converse.
Man, the name brand.
I didn't know what Converse was. Now, again, you have to understand, this is 1973.
Uh-huh.
Okay. There was no internet. You know, Dan wasn't going shopping.
Right.
Okay. Bottom line. I had a paper route at the time, though.
Famous paper route.
Famous paper route, yes. Bottom line is, I wasn't getting footing.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So I made the team, and I was like the sixth man off the bench, and I got into all the games, but I really wasn't thriving.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up to the coach and I said, "What can I do to get better?" He goes, "Converse."
Wow.
I go, "Really?" So I didn't know that their sneakers were better footing than my sneakers. I thought we were on a level playing field.
Uh-huh.
So that was my first goal.
Get the Converse.
That I remember in my lifetime. I've got to get Converse. And they were $13 a pair.
Okay.
$13. All right.
$1 for every year you had been alive.
Correct. And I didn't know this, but KEDS were like $3.
Yeah.
I'm just giving you the differential in price here.
Yeah.
So for me to go to my parents and say, you know, I need Converse.
Yeah.
Okay.
Astronomical.
It was astronomical. But lo and behold, my parents did financial planning.
Huh. Who knew?
Because at Christmas, I got my Converse.
Wow.
Doesn't sound like a lot of money, $13. But to put it into perspective, my dad's mortgage payment that year was $38 a month.
Wow.
Just to put it into perspective.
Yeah.
That's a third of a mortgage payment.
Those Converse.
That they put on my feet. It was probably the nicest thing that anybody had ever done to me up to that time. So the next game I got into, I scored 31 points.
Wow.
And then the game after that, I was in the starting lineup.
Wow, the coach is right.
So the coach was right. He knew that I had the talent, I just didn't have the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
nor the plan.
Yeah. So if I were planning, because I had the paper route, and I was making $3 a week delivering papers, it would have taken me 5 weeks, and I was spending on other things.
Right,
so
more than 5 weeks,
It was like overwhelming to me.
Right.
Like, right. How was I going to buy Converse, $13?
And the season would be over by then.
Correct. By the next season, I'd worn out the Converse, but I had saved with my paper route to buy a new pair.
Wow, you had a goal.
I had a goal.
And would you say that it was the tread or the confidence that got you the 31 points that first game?
I had the skill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I knew I had the skill, but something was holding me back. I think the footing gave me the confidence.
Right.
Because I could do things on the court that I wasn't able to do before.
Right, change direction, you're not slipping and sliding.
It's a very quick-paced sport, you know. Quick moves, left and right, head fakes, you know,
right.
Everything. Plus, it was better on the wear and tear on my legs.
Right.
So from an endurance standpoint, the first few years I was playing basketball, I got very bad shin splints.
Right.
You know, they took me to doctors, like, what's wrong with his shins? It was the sneakers.
Yeah.
Follow me?
Yeah, such a metaphor.
A little bit. But true story.
Yeah, we'll have to get an expert on sneakers in here.
It's important. A little bit.
Are you excited about any future topics that we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, there's. I wrote down 35 different topics.
Yep.
These topics are wide ranging. But it kind of exposes you to what I kind of deal with on a daily basis.
Right. And what most people are going to be dealing with in their lives.
So I never thought I'd be talking to people so much about dental costs.
Right.
Okay. Just so you know.
Oh, I know. I know. As someone who takes very good care of her teeth and despite that has still had dental problems.
Yes. Especially dental costs when you get into the age 65 and older.
Right, right.
The topic of technology. Technology is changing so quickly. And they're asking my advice with things, everything from identity theft or to what type of, should I have some type of security system? You know, even in the car industry, you've got to decide, should I get a gas car? Should I get a hybrid? Should I get an electric?
Right.
And you have to have people that have, this is what I call my virtual team, that have an expertise in these areas.
They're a phone call away.
They're a phone call away for expertise.
Or a podcast away.
Yeah. So, you know, there's physical health, there's mental health, family dynamics. There's just so much. So these are things that I talk to families about. Hence, you know, our practice is called Family Wealth Management for a reason. We deal with, in most cases, four generations.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, and the older the person is, the more their eyes light up when talking about the younger people in their life.
Right.
Their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids.
Yep.
Okay. So, and like I said, I think I mentioned this before, is that if it's important to them, it's important to me.
Yeah. And you have collected an eclectic crew of people in your life who are experts in a myriad of things. And you're not too proud to say, hey, I don't know anything about that, but I got a guy.
One of the things I pride myself on and the team prides itself on is trying to be as proactive as possible to have authentic client meetings.
Yeah, that's what this whole show is going to be about, too. And I'll be here along the way to ask annoying questions, things that you probably are both, you're going to have an expert on, you're going to go off about something, and I'm going to be like, can you bring it back for the people who know nothing about it? All right. So, well, that was our first episode of Dan Has a Plan, Beyond the Balance Sheet. How's it feel?
It feels good. Feels good. Hopefully people like the jingle.
They're going to love the jingle.
Yeah, I never thought I'd have a jingle. Just so you know.
It's a really good one. Shout out to Tom McGovern, who wrote our jingle. All right, so we will see you next time, shall we?
All right. Lana J. Smith.
Daniel B. Smith. Love you.
Love you.
Presented for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon as investment advice or the basis for making any investment decisions. It does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy any specific product or service. UBS does not provide legal or tax advice, and we would recommend listeners to obtain appropriate independent professional advice. Some of the views and opinions expressed may not be those of UBS Group AG or its affiliates. UBS Financial Services Incorporated offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. These services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review Client Relationship Summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services Incorporated is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG and is a member of FINRA and SIPC.